initiating, developing, and managing, and the GNSO is responsible for delivering. So I won't say more than that for the moment. I think, as you rightly said, Wolf Ulrich, this is an opportunity to have some Q&A, and as I said at the outset, to have some opportunity for discussion. So thanks to all of you who have made the effort to be here this morning, and I'll open it up to discussion, question, comment on the chair and how we work as a council.
Oh, thanks, Jonathan, for your words. So the floor is open. It's open to you. If you have any questions, any comments, any towards the candidate, please. I have Petter. Do you have more? Petter first, please.
Petter Rinfort, IPC. First of all, thank you for your first year. I'm well aware that it's difficult to, even if you have a long experience before, but to sit in that position. Also, I can see that what you have presented for your plans for the next coming years, some overall objectives, but it would be interesting to see if you could quickly put down the five most important issues that you see that we are going to work with and how to deal with them.
Jonathan.
Thanks,
Jonathan. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No. 2 minutes per each.
Look, I think I'm in some ways, I suppose I'd contextualize my answer, Petter, in that this is the chair of the council is about ensuring that the council and the groups that make up the council's voices are coordinated and properly heard, and that the policy management process works. So in some ways, I feel slightly uncomfortable, putting out a grand vision, because I don't think I'm the CEO or the executive chair in that sense that comes up. But on the other hand, it is a leadership position, and there is a requirement to provide some guidance in that respect. And as I said, one of the key things for me to distill it down into 5 points, I've probably got more like two or three, but it's really ensuring that the role of the council, the role of the GNSO is properly understood. I think that's one challenge we face in the broader community. I'm not sure we're understood. I think we're frequently misunderstood, occasionally deliberately, but frankly, I think it's more than that. It's often just not properly understood how we work, what we do, what we're responsible for. And I think that the tremendous value that has in validating the bottom-up multi-stakeholder model, which seems so important in this global context. And so those are two key points. I think another third, which I touched on in my opening remarks, is just ensuring that we continue to produce a steady flow of work effectively and efficiently, and show a willingness to develop in the way in which we work. So I think I've probably got three or four out there, and that I'll leave it at that.
Are you satisfied with that, Petter? I think so, yes. Thanks. John Berard, please say your name for the transcripts, please. John, and then Thomas.
This is, John Berard. Jonathan, how much time do you spend in your role as chair now? And will you have the continued support of your employer in order to continue to invest that kind of time? And in light of the extra ICANN issues that seem to be driving a lot of the ICANN agenda, do you see that your time demands will increase, stay the same, or decrease in the next year?
It's a really good question, John. I think it can be answered in lots of different ways. But talk to people who've had experience chairing the council before, who are familiar with the position there. They'll say it can be up to a full-time role. It can take as much time as you'll give it. Coming in a year ago, I said to myself and set the expectation that I would spend up to half my time doing it, I think it overruns that quite comfortably at times. I mean, I think the week or two before the physical meetings, it can be more or less all hours of the day trying to get in shape. But I'm not concerned about the time commitments. I suppose it should be clear, it is in my statement of interest, I'm not employed. I operate as a freelance consultant, and I do some work outside of the council work, but if I'll take as much time as it requires, really.
Okay, Thomas, please.
Jonathan, I guess the chair is not as hot as it was last year when you did this. My question is more with respect to the council itself. I guess that you certainly did have some expectations with the work that the council is doing, how it's collaborating with other stakeholders and so on and so forth. So looking back, do you think that the council has supported you, you know, driving your agenda in a fashion that you had expected, or is there something that we can do better or should do better in order to be more supportive of what you're doing and in order to achieve our goal or the goals that you've basically put into your candidate statement again?
Yeah, thanks, Thomas. I'll try and answer that properly and frankly. I mean, first of all, for those of you who aren't aware, Thomas and I had a closely fought battle for chair last year, and that's partly what he's making reference to. And you know, actually, subsequent to that, Thomas, you ask about support, and you have been one of the people who's been clearly very engaged, particularly at the working group level, as everyone will be aware, chairing probably one of the most challenging working groups we've had to deal with. But in terms of working at the council level and what that means, I mean, I think I've personally got a challenge is to make sure, like anyone in this kind of position, that I do the work of engaging as effectively as possible the councillors and the leadership of the stakeholder groups and constituencies that make up the council in some of the more challenging issues we face, and that's probably going to become more important over the next year. I think it is challenging when we meet face-to-face only three times and we all kind of get fired up and work productively together and get a good spirit of being together, and then we naturally disperse and it becomes over email. So I think the challenge for me and for us is to work effectively in between the face-to-face meetings and to ensure that the councillors are as engaged as possible. And I think maybe what I could do more effectively going forward and what we could do is delegate the work and partition it up into groups in order to enhance that engagement and participation. So that's something that's on my mind, is to make sure that the council is fully engaged, but I don't want to present that as something which is a weakness or failing of the councillors. I think it's a challenge that I've put to myself and to all of us to ensure that we've got as much participation and involvement and productivity on some of the topics we're working on. So those are my thoughts. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. But I guess that, you know, maybe, you know, answering questions as a candidate is not an ideal point in time to criticize the council, but you offered an open answer, and I guess we jointly have to make this a success. So it's not the burden is not only on you, and I think we have to be very critical looking at how we behaved. And I think that at times, and I would put it more harshly, we've been almost hibernating in between meetings on certain topics, and we should be more active.
And thanks, Thomas. And I'm sensitive to that, and I hope I wasn't seen to be. You know, I want to be frank, and I think that's a good. It's a good point. I mean, yeah. Thanks.
Any further question, David?
David Cake. We are in one respect we are considering a different candidate than a year ago, in that you've got 1 year of experience in the role. Can you tell us in how that experience has affected your feelings about being chair? Like, have your priorities changed a little or anything like that? Or have you got some insight from the role that you did not have before?
It's a very good question, David, and I think I feel slightly nervous that I'm in danger of repeating myself, because I feel like some of the things I've touched on reflect that experience already, and some of, both in terms of answering Thomas's question about how we might go forward, but also what's gone on in the past. I think you realize the sensitivity. I mean, there's so many subtle layers to the way in which the groups come to the table. I mean, one example I suppose I would give is that when we do this induction and development day, which is certainly something that I, you know, thought immediately struck me with at and around the Toronto meeting, was that we didn't really have a way of bringing counselors on board. But perhaps a year ago, I would have treated the council slightly more as you would a board or a group, where you induct those incoming counselors into that group. And one of the key things that I probably had partly pointed out to me and partly recognized myself is just quite how important it is to make sure the council stays joined up with the GNSO as a whole and the groups that come to it, which is why we've got that first session where we don't just go off in a room and say, right, this is about the council and how the council functions, because the council is a body within and born of the GNSO. So that would be one example of a perhaps a sensitivity or a practical learning that comes out of being in the role for a year.
Great answer.
We have Zaid, who's next.
Thank you. So I was going to direct my questions to not Jonathan, but it goes to show that after a year, the fact that we don't have anybody else standing, to commend you to the role that you've played over the last year. I just want to say it's disappointing personally, in a sense I won't be there next year because I'm term limited to work with you. It's been a pleasure to do that. I think I have two basic questions. One would be, how would you work more closely or have, you know, have a greater liaison maybe with some of the constituencies and having them more involved? We've seen that, you know, timelines and things like that have been challenges at times, one. And secondly, we are here in Buenos Aires today, and I want to be clear on this. This is not because of the Argentinian government. It's for other reasons that we have almost two. Definitely, I'm here not because of ICANN, you know, assistance for the visa. It was an independent process. But Landry is not here either. And when we want to talk about more participation in the council from diversity perspectives and developing country inclusion, what can we do as a leadership in the council that you will be sort of going forward to make that a little more sort of available next year, hopefully? And that's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Zaid, first of all, for your sort of supporting and good words at the outset, but also for the questions. I think I'd like to be a little slightly controversial and lay down a bit of a challenge in terms of that liaison with the constituencies and groups. I'd like to hear from them as well as reach out to them. So I've frequently, I believe, made it clear that I'm open and receptive to being influenced, not improperly, but understanding the requirements. So I think I don't want it to sound like a cop-out, but I do want to emphasize the kind of door-open policy as well, as because, honestly, it's pretty overwhelming sometimes, the sort of administrative workload of just sort of scheduling, organizing, ensuring that things function properly, and to then take another layer, which is clearly what's required, of going around the different groups and making sure that they are included or have the appropriate representation. So I guess the challenge is to the councillors and to the group leadership outside of that to make themselves known and heard. And as I say, I'm not copping out of it, but I do want to sort of challenge and ask for that input as well. As far as the internationalization, I mean, it's a challenging one because, you know, something like Lunray's visa challenges, I'm just not sure that's how the council could help and deal with it. I think it's a challenge for all of us within the ICANN community, how we handle internationalization, how we handle the fact that, you know, recognizing that, that either travel logistics, bureaucratic hurdles to overcome for travel and participation from developing world is just, it's just, until you experience it and realize the frustrations of even internet connectivity for remote participation or other factors or financial, logistical, bureaucratic challenges of physical participation, I suppose it's something which is very helpful that you make sure is on the agenda. It's not flowing off the tip of my tongue how we on the council, apart from being aware of it, being sensitive and could do something about it.
Alan, do you have a question?
Sorry. I just have a follow-on comment. One of the interesting things about being a chair is you have access to people that others don't have. And trying to move a problem like was being referenced up the chain of command, with once it gets into the lowest person at ICANN that will listen to you, it's not clear it moves up. Chairs have access essentially to the top down, and that, you know, this may be one of those times when you can access it when the rest of us can't.
Yeah, that's a very brief response, Wolf. That's a good comment and a point well made and well taken, Alan. It's a really interesting one. I've grappled with that access point because, again, that access is something which needs to be not abused. But you're right. This is probably one of those occasions where it's a perfectly appropriate use of such access. So I really appreciate the point, and it brings it home well. Thank you.
I'm not sure. Marianne, did you have your hand up at first? Well, Jeff, okay.
Sure, thanks. And not that I would have minded if Marilyn went first, but I think what I would say is as a counselor, we can make it a point to the staff that it's not acceptable to have a public meeting in a place where we can't make sure that our counselors are able to attend, at least from the visa perspective. I mean, I understand if people can't travel because of personal issues or because of work issues or whatever else, that we can't do anything about. But certainly someone who wants to come and has the ability to come should never be prevented from coming. And you can go out to the world and talk about how much you want to encourage participation and multi-stakeholderism and getting more people involved. But if you can't, from a meetings perspective, arrange with a local host to have people get here, then you kind of failed in your job. So one of the points we can make is a point to staff, and maybe it's even to Fadi as a quick point in our conversation with him, is look, if we're going to have a meeting in a place and if you're going to go around the world encouraging people to participate, then help make it easy for them to come and participate.
Thanks, Jeff. Looking at the time, so we shouldn't comment on the issues themselves, rather than put questions to Jonathan. We can discuss that later on, I think so, in other sessions. Marilyn, please.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I'm one of the officers of the business constituency. I want to just say very quickly how much I appreciate, Jonathan, the progress that I think has been made by the council in building toward a understanding of the distributed leadership that exists across the GNSO. The council is a part of the leadership, but the XCOMs are also a part of the leadership. And so I want to ask a question, which I have not fielded with anyone else, but it has two parts. The first part is whether the council might start thinking very proactively about having returning to a process that we actually engaged in once before. And that was face-to-face working sessions for relatively challenging PDP developments, where, in fact, we did bring people together and work face-to-face in order to deal with a particularly contentious issue. And some of the people here were around at that time, and I think we found it very beneficial. So that's one thing. It obviously would affect the budget and your time, but you might think about it, because I think there are some challenging issues ahead on the policy front. The second is, I might also ask that the council think about a once-a-year engagement with the XCOMs of the full XCOMs of the constituencies, and think of it as a strategic planning opportunity, where, in fact, we can think about the division of labor, input from the constituencies and SGs into ICANN's strat plan, into the budget, et cetera, but also making sure there's a clear understanding of the development of policy and whether you all have thought about sort of different working methods like that, or if not, if you might think about it.
Thanks, Marilyn. The point's well made and clearly made, and you know, thanks for making those and bringing those up. I don't think we've actively discussed those, although arguably Friday's session is a halfway house in terms of that of what you're talking about here. I mean, I suppose at a kind of meta level, I have a feeling that we have a challenge as a GNSO and as a GNSO council as a whole to ensure that we are, as I said at the outset, well understood, effective in our working, and demonstrate the within the ICANN community and outside the ICANN community how valuable our model is, and so and why it exists as it is, and what it does, and how it does what it does. So, in that context, I think your points are, you know, we've kind of got to come together and work effectively to demonstrate who we are and what we can do. So, you know, I'll take those in that context, and I think they're food for thought for not only me but for everyone. So thank you.
Okay, Jonathan, any more question? Or yet, if not, I have a very last one, which fits to that what John was asking you, but related to the private sector, is how did you convince your family that this commitment is of advantage to them?
That's a difficult question to answer, because I think mostly my family accepts that what I need to do, or they're supportive, and you've kind of thrown me here. I wasn't really expecting to deal with that, but I mean, it is an interesting point for all of us. It is a real challenge to be. I mean, this one looks like a long one. You know, I flew out on Thursday night and arrived back on Saturday, and actually convincing my family, or sometimes friends or colleagues in the industry, that there's a requirement to spend this much time away from home with industry colleagues is a challenge. And maybe it's something we all need to think about, is how much could we do things differently and more efficiently. But thanks, Wolf.
Okay. I was asking for advice. Thank you. Okay, so then this session comes to a close. I do hope you get an impression of the candidate right now. You can go for the election next week. So thank you very much. We close this session, and I stop the recording, and I hand it over to you again. Thank you.